All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and this is a review for Bad Times at the El Royale. It's written and directed by Drew Goddard. It stars Jeff Bridges, Cynthia Erivo, and Dakota Johnson. And the synopsis is, circa 1968, several strangers, most with a secret to bury, meet by chance at Lake Tahoe's El Royale, a rundown hotel with a dark past. Over the course of one night, everyone will show their true colors before everything goes to hell. It starts off with a guy checking into the hotel, and then he starts digging a hole into the floor and buries something into the floor. Then he gets killed. I guess what would be 1968, or at least the time period that the movie takes place, where you have several different guests checking into a hotel that is completely empty. There's not really an attendant that works there, and they're trying to figure out what's going on and who each person is. An attendant shows up, where he's telling them that they can either stay on one half of the hotel is in California, the other half is in Nevada, and things cost more in California, coffee costs more. As the synopsis said, some people have a past, stuff starts to converge, and James, what did you think of the Bad Times at the El Royale?
I enjoyed it. I was actually surprised by it.
I'm not surprised, because this is about as Clue as you can get.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say. It was a very good movie. I liked it. I was surprised by how much I liked it because I did watch the preview or the trailer. I was interested in it, but I didn't expect it to be like this. To me, it just was kind of a mixture of Clue and Pulp Fiction. I'm not a fan of Pulp Fiction.
I agree.
But this had the Pulp Fiction elements. I really didn't care about the other stories that led up to the main story because everything tied in. Only cared about John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson's point of view. This movie is just based on different people's perspectives.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of liked it. And it kind of threw me off on certain things. I mean, some things were kind of set there. And you knew it was going to go that route. Or you knew that person was involved in this. But certain things I didn't know. It was nice. I actually enjoyed it.
All right. So at first, I was not liking this movie. And I didn't understand where this movie was going, why it was going this place. And it seemed very directionless. Until Chris Hemsworth came on the screen. That's when it starts getting weird. Whole movie kind of reminds me of Smoking Aces, Identity, and Clue, you know, if you want to go that route. I didn't understand the overall mystery until he came on screen. And then it just kind of goes crazy. Then it does pick up a little bit. Wouldn't say I like some of the performances as much, because Jeff Bridges does the same performance in almost every movie that he's been in. I do like how all the storylines tie into each other, and it does tell the story a little bit out of order at times that you might have a flashback. And again, for me, I hate flashbacks, but the way that this movie does it, it fills in the part of the story that you did not see. The mixture of the characters is a little weird, and not to say that negatively, but you have Jeff Bridges playing a priest, Cynthia Erivo, who is playing a singer, and some of his kind of Motown 1960s. '60s R&B. You have John Hamm. There's also an episode of Star Trek, if Keith was on, if he had saw this movie, that where I believe Riker, Data, and Worf go into a casino and because they hear a distress beacon and they don't ever leave. And it's just kind of like a weird story that plays out that no one knows who each other is and they have to kind of figure out the mystery. Again, I did not like this movie when it started. The first 45 minutes or hour, I was like, where's this movie going? And then it goes crazy because of Chris Hemsworth. So what did you think of his performance, James?
I actually enjoyed all the performances, but I do agree with you with Jeff Bridges. He was playing the same role he's been playing for the past maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
Same veteran, same old mentor type person, losing their mind a little bit. It's just kind of eccentric. Somehow, some way, he's playing that same character. He is very typecast. Everyone else, I enjoy their performances to the point that I got involved into the characters. I was so enamored of what the hell is going on. Why are you here? Why are you here? All right, so how is this tying into this? How did they know that? So I was definitely into that part of it. That's one thing I like because it reminded me of Clue, and Clue is one of my top 100 movies. So, but the thing that kind of set the tone for this movie was Chris Hemsworth. When he came in, it took it up to a different level. You felt the intensity when he was there. I think he did a good job acting. He did a pretty good job acting. I mean, some of it was actually kind of funny. He had that music playing and he was doing his little shimmy shit, whatever the fuck it was. But it was perfect for that time frame, so yeah, it made sense. But it was also pretty predictable when he was first introduced. You knew that was coming.
Yeah. Two other characters, for one reason or another, one is tied up, the other character is just kind of in control. You don't really know why. And some of that kind of reminded me from Dusk to Dawn. I didn't know where the story was going. If it did go in a vampire direction, I probably would have been like, yeah, I'm with that. Because
you know what? I did hear you say the analogy. You say it reminds you of Identity too.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking that as well, because the whole hotel scenery, and that's one reason why I liked it too, because I liked Identity. All the movies that I like are kind of meshed into this movie, except for Pulp Fiction. I am not a fan of Pulp Fiction.
Neither am I. I'm a fan of certain scenes in Pulp Fiction. I'm not exactly a fan of Quentin Tarantino. I've only liked maybe three or four movies that he has made, and that is about it.
Well, you and I are in total agreement there, because to me, that movie's overrated. I only cared about certain scenes, and most of those scenes involved Samuel Jackson. Everything else is kind of like, okay, it's here, but whatever. I really don't care too much. This movie, to me, is just all of the movies I enjoyed rolled into one. I couldn't predict this movie. I mean, I had certain things that that I knew was coming, but then other things I was just like, whoa, I did not expect that. I didn't expect that. So that's one reason why I like this movie, because I like to be pleasantly surprised and not always figuring stuff out. So this one, like I said, it had its predictable moments, but most of it was unpredictable to me because I was caught off guard by 7 points in this movie.
So, James, what score would you give Bad Times at the El Royale?
It did have its flaws, but I enjoyed it so much to the point I didn't even realize this movie was actually pretty long.
Yeah, it's almost 2 hours.
It's over two. It seemed like it was over two.
Yeah, so it clocks in at 2 hours and 21 minutes. So I was wrong.
Yeah, the movie is pretty long. But the thing about it doesn't seem long to me. It doesn't seem long to me because I was so involved and so enamored with the characters and where the story is going and how everyone ties into what's going on, what's going to happen. I was just entrenched in it. And it made the movie fly by really, really fast. And it didn't seem like that to me. I realized that after the movie ended, I was like, whoa, I've been here for damn near 2.5 hours. So I would give this movie a 9.
All right. So I liked it, did not like it that much. But I would give this a 7.5. This movie has a lot of stuff going well for it. The story is probably the best part about this. The mixture of the characters. So, I mean, this is a very character-driven movie with the mystery. Happens in the later half of the movie. So you kind of compare it to a Tarantino movie. That's something that would happen in a Tarantino movie. We have a lot of dialogue, and then at some point, the story gets going. I do like the way that it progresses and the mixture of the characters. I just think the length of the movie is why I did not like it that much. And again, that's a 7.5. I would say, if you have some time to kill, and I did not intend to see this movie, and James had mentioned it and said, hey guys, this movie is pretty good. And I was like, all right, well, you know what? I'll go check it out. I came away satisfied with the movie. It's a well-rounded movie. This is what A Cure for Wellness should have been. Where the story and the characters mesh well, and it comes off as fulfilling. A Cure for Wellness does not do that. A Cure for Wellness had the creepiness. This movie has the creepiness and weirdness suspense factor. And it does have multiple characters that come into play, but A Cure for Wellness just did not flesh out well. It took the stupid route. This took the very intelligent route about how to do all this. And I think some of it has to be because Drew Goddard.
But I agree with you wholeheartedly, because Cure for Wellness, as we discussed in the previous podcast, we both liked. We liked it, but we acknowledged that the movie could have been a lot better. Had tone, has creepiness, had the imagery, had everything, had a little bit of storytelling, but the story was lacking. It was a good movie, but it could have been better. It could have been even great if it had this storytelling that Bad Times at El Royale has. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Barry, because like I said, A Cure for Wellness is not a bad movie, but it could be so much better. And this movie has so many different characters in it, all meshes well. It meshes well, and there are some pleasant surprises in this movie as well, too. So I thought that it was well written. I thought that it was the way that the story came together. It was done beautifully. That's one reason why I like it.
All right. So if Keith was on, he would probably complain a little bit, because this is one of J.J. Abrams' buddies. And he's also one of Joss Whedon's buddies. But He directed a movie that you did not like, James. He directed The Cabin in the Woods.
Are you serious? He redeemed himself.
Yeah, so he had also written Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Alias, it's all the J.J. Abrams crap. And Cloverfield, the original Cloverfield, episodes of Lost.
Well, that wasn't too bad, the original Cloverfield.
Yeah. He also had written or contributed, I think multiple people contributed to World War Z, The Martian. He had written an episode of The Defenders, and then this movie, and several episodes of Daredevil. So, Drew Goddard, good job. And that's Beast Game Podcast.